This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. When a woman is a victim of domestic violence, finding a way out is not easy. But for immigrant women, especially those who are undocumented, things can be even more complicated. In fact, immigrant women are nearly twice as likely as the general population to experience domestic violence. These women may not be aware of the legal options available to them, or those options themselves may be limited. Many of them say they fear deportation if they contact authorities. Over the last several decades, a secretive network of Latinas has sprung up in California to help those suffering from domestic abuse.
Women who essentially opened their homes as shelters for abused women.
Lizzie Presser is a contributing writer for California Sunday Magazine, and she reported on this underground network of women giving abused immigrants safety, companionship, and even medical and legal advice. Presser says there are about 150 other Latina women nationwide doing work similar to what she saw in California. And she told me about one of the women she followed in her reporting.
So I follow a woman named Valentina, and she's opening her home, and one of the women who she's working with is a woman who I call Sylvia. She has been in an abusive relationship for many years, and for a while, she was struggling to leave because she was nervous about just going public with her story at all. Since Trump was elected, she became much more nervous about the threat of deportation, and in particular about losing her children. And so she came to Valentina's house and stayed for a week, and now Valentina sees her regularly to check in on her. And she understands that this is a long process, right? You know, on average, a woman tries 7 times to leave her abusive partner in this country, right? When you're an immigrant woman, that can be even more difficult.
What is a U visa? And how does it play into this conversation we're having?
I'll step back a little. So the Violence Against Women Act was first passed in 1994, and it was the first federal legislative package that was designed to end violence against women. And it included a piece of legislation that provided a path to permanent residency for abused immigrant women whose spouses were their abusers and who were also U.S. citizens or permanent residents. It's a really small fraction of immigrant women. In 2000, with the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, that was expanded and the U visa was created. And it offered a path to permanent residency for immigrant women who were victims of violent crime and who were willing to help with the investigation or prosecution of that crime. It was bipartisan legislation. So the U visa is that.
Where does it stand today?
In the past 4 years, we've seen an enormous backlog grow. In 2014, the government was granting U visas to women who had applied 5 months earlier. If you apply today, you will wait 9 years for a U visa. There's an 120,000 person backlog, so they're capped at 10,000 a year. And in the same time frame, we've seen the number of adjudicators drop from 93 to 60 at the last official tally.
Why is there such a delay? And is that delay what's spurring these women in part to seek services, quote unquote, underground?
It's hard to understand why there's such a delay and why there hasn't been a surplus or an addition of adjudicators to help speed up the process. It's a good question about whether that delay is driving people underground. Of course, we don't know causation necessarily, but definitely the women who I was speaking to who were opening their homes were finding that survivors who came to them just didn't want to wait 9 years. They couldn't wait 9 years, right? So that means that for 9 years, they don't have the protections of a work permit. So they can't necessarily support their children. And that's what the U visa was designed to do, to give people a pathway to residency so that they would be able to leave safely and to support their families.
And, you know, the Obama administration had very controversial policies regarding immigration. I'm wondering, are these women more concerned under today's circumstances under the Trump administration, or was there equal concern under the Obama administration? If so, what's the difference today?
I was wondering the same thing, and I was actually somewhat surprised to learn that this concern is much, much higher today than it was under Obama's administration.
The concern of deportation? The concern of...
The concern of deportation. Mm-hmm. A lot of the women who were coming to these safe houses, essentially, under the Obama administration didn't feel as if it was as risky to come forward to the police. They felt as if Obama's deportation priorities were much clearer. And now those priorities have been widened so broadly that they really just don't know. One of the other things I heard a lot in this reporting was that women felt particularly afraid about separation of families. It's just all over the news in this way that they believe that it's possible that their family too could be separated.
When these women come to Valentina, do they end up staying just temporarily? Do they end up going back to their abusive partners? Like, what have you seen?
Yeah, so Valentina estimates that about half of the women who have stayed with her have gone back to their partners. It's really, really difficult to leave. And half have left. Some stay for a night. Some stay for 2 months. So it really depends on the woman. And Valentina's feeling is it's up to them. And she'll do what works best for them. I mean, I met some women who were opening their homes who found that the survivors stayed with them for as long as a year. One of the problems with the shelter system is that there's an expiration date. If you are lucky enough to find a bed in a shelter, which is extremely hard to do, you often have 60 or 90 days maximum, and then you have to get out. And so these women feel like the least they can do is kind of extend that stay.
Why does the network need to be a secret?
Some of the women don't necessarily call it a secret and would actually speak about it more publicly. Others feel as if it's too risky to say, I'm bringing in women whose partners are abusing them, because they feel as if there's a possibility that abuser will then come after them. Some of these women have kids they're living with, you know, and they're trying to protect their families and they're trying to protect their communities. And in part, it's because the survivors themselves want to disappear. They feel as if they can't get a restraining order, they don't feel safe going to the police, they can't get a restraining order, they don't want to live in the same cities as their abusers. They prefer to move to a different town and start a new life. And so they would prefer if their location was secret. And so the women who are opening their homes respect and honor that.
Is there anything we should be thinking about culturally, because we're talking about Latinas in particular? Are there any cultural distinctions that come up in dealing with domestic violence?
There's so much work that needs to be done at the ground level just to get women to feel comfortable talking among people who they know about what's going on in their home or what's going on in the workplace. And we can't be failing to see that. We can't be missing that.
Lizzie Presser is a contributing writer for California Sunday Magazine. Lizzie, thanks for your reporting.
Thanks so much for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.